So that's your first son, right? Your second son has come along, and there's some mixture in it, in that the first son tends to be more of a person who likes plants, gardening, that sort of thing. The second one tends to be one that's a little more into like animals, like taking care of animals, getting herds, getting that sort of thing going on. So he's more connected with the animal side, with taking care of the providing for the family that way. All right. And so that one is in a sense more gentle because they're more connected with living beings. So he's got more connection that way, right? So then these two are coming along, and one day they both head out. They both head out into the field, and only one comes back. And you ask, okay, where's your brother? And they say, I don't know where my brother is. They had gone out together. So what are you thinking right now? What are you thinking as a mom about what's gone on? This is not good, right? This is not good, right? Because brothers should know where each other are, generally. They should have an idea, and especially if they head out together, they should have some idea where the other brother is. And when the first brother is saying now, I don't know where my brother is, this is not a good thing. Because either they didn't follow what was going on, or they really don't know, in which case you're not quite sure how competent that they are, or something bad has happened. So let's take a look at this now in the scriptures, because we're going back now as we're talking about Thanksgiving. We're going to start with the fundamental principle, okay? And I'm going to tell you what that is right now, and then we're going to go through the scripture. The fundamental principle is to be happy and to be thankful in what we have right now. To be thankful in the now to the Father, and not necessarily in what He can provide going forward or will provide. The fundamental principle in thankfulness is saying, I am thankful for what I have today. This is a good day in God. No matter what I sense is lacking, no matter what may be encouraged in the future, and of course, you know, we're not talking about spiritual things. We're always looking for new spiritual things. That's always the case. But in terms of emotional things, in terms of physical provision, in terms of the situation of life, today, the day to be thankful is today. Today is the day to be thankful. That's the foundation. So, Jerry, if you want to put up. Now, Abel kept flocks, and this is Genesis chapter 4. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. So here's Eve, the mother, sitting here watching this happen, okay? And she's seeing what's going on with her sons. And she sees the one that will kill the other one. And this is what is being heard. And so she now is aware of how much her original decision about God in the garden has affected everyone. Right? We often think our decisions are for ourselves alone, right? And yes, certain things are. Very minor things, but every medium and major decision we make affects those people around us, right? Everything we do affects those people around us. That's the nature of God's interconnectivity in us and through us. That's just the nature of life, is to be connected, right? And so here is God basically talking to Cain, the one who's the aggressor, the one who's the violent one, the angry one, right? And God is basically saying, anger is coming up to destroy you. But you must be the one to take control over it. You must, in me, God is always saying, in me, right? That's always the subtext of every command in the scripture. In me, you must rule over it. So one of the major things for us, excuse me, I'm just getting over some pretty nasty stuff. One of the major things when the anger starts to come is to identify, okay, why am I angry? What's going on? Because it's sort of like that anger is an indication that something is going on deep that I'm not sure how to deal with, right? Either I feel like somebody is disrespecting me, I'm not being loved, I'm not being cared for, things are not going the way I want them to in this situation. And that may be true. I may be being disrespected. I may not be. Maybe some mixture of that whole thing, right? But it's like the first thing is to say, okay, why am I being angry? You know, God, why am I being angry? And so one of the things here is that's really awesome to be able to deal with is to have trusted friends that you can go and kind of lay out. They know enough about you that they're able and they're good in the Lord and they're mature emotionally. We're all in the process, but they're mature, so they're not going to react one way or another when we bring things, but to say, hey, here's the situation that I'm getting very angry about. You know, let me tell you what I think I know about how I'm reacting and what's really going on and all these sort of situations. And so you share it with them, and then you ask them to say, okay, what do you think the Lord is saying to me about this? I mean, can you back up from who you are and try to be in the position of, you know, talk to me from where the Lord might be in this situation. Help me understand, you know, who I am, and remind me and be with me in that process of where I'm going. You know, walking towards God, walking towards obedience. And so these are practically those great opportunities to basically find those people. And you know, it's so good when you can have such conversations and such connections with people that you can kind of put up your hand when you need help. Like, you know, it's like, and I've got somebody that's kind of walked with me ever since the divorce for a long, long time. And we used to meet every week, and now we don't meet as often. We've got different things going on. But when one of us puts up our hand, we get together and we spend an hour, hour and a half, and we basically give enough about every corner of our life so that we kind of know where we're at. And if things are tough, we'll talk about that. Okay, this is a challenge for me. This is a hard thing right now going on. Okay, what do you think about that? And then there's kind of that. You know, it's kind of like when you get together, it's like you share what's going on about what with you, but then you kind of back up from the emotion of it and say, I'm gonna share intensely, I'm gonna share what the emotion is, but then I'm gonna back up because I need to hear what's, you know, from the Lord. Help me understand what's really going on deep down, even deeper than I understand what's going on, so that I'm able to go there with you, God, and you can start working down there to bring peace, to bring power, to bring sensitivity, to bring confidence, to bring stepping up into good things, right? And so this is the opportunity that's pointed out for us and that God is important because, you know, we basically as people, in a sense, we live from emotion to emotion. And emotion's too small a word. We live from intensity to intensity in a lot of ways, right? The things that really are intense with us, that really get us fired up, those are the things that we kind of like identify as, or those are the things that identify and kind of in a way mark who we are. And so to be able to walk into those areas with God and with trusted people is such an incredible benefit because then it's not just me trying to fight my own battles all the time. And, you know, sometimes we're our best lawyer, personally. Sometimes we're our worst lawyer, right? It can be a little bit of both. And it's like, so having other people there that have watched and cared, that's the huge benefit of the community. You know, because there are people in here and people, other people you know that love God, that have walked through different things, they've watched things identify, they can see the symptoms of what's going on, right? They can look at symptoms and go, well, it may not be right, the issue may not be right here, the issue may be over here. So let's kind of figure out where God is at on this, right? Maybe you're not being loved and cared for. So I affirm you. I love you in the Lord. I bless you in the Lord. God loves you. This is good. Or perhaps that person is truly doing evil to you, and you need to figure out a way to continue to love them, to not hold something against them, but you need to set up boundaries so that they can't affect you as much. Because if someone is really destructive, and especially if they're not following God, we love them and invite them to come, but we invite them to come from a little bit from distance away, right? Because if they are not choosing to follow God, then I can't 100% ally with them in my heart. I can 100% want them to change and want good things for them, but they've got to make that choice to come towards God. And so I have to keep enough distance that they know there's distance, but they also know they're cared for. But I have to protect myself because I've got to maintain the fire for God. That's the number one thing in our lives, right? Is where is my fire for God? And I have to have allies in that process of keeping that fire stoked and burning and going in a great way. So this is an awesome thing. And so the kind of the number one thing about basically Thanksgiving is identifying those places where perhaps things are not going well currently. And so I have to identify where I can get with God to be happy in the now, to be thankful in the now, to be blessing Him in the now, so that the intensity can come down to a good place where it's a positive thing. The intensity towards God, the intensity about situations in my life, the intensity about what's happening. So it's a helpful energy into good things with God as opposed to something that destroys me in anger, you know, where I'm going to hurt someone else or hurt myself, right? Depending on whether I turn my anger outward or I turn it against myself in depression or self-criticism or self-hatred, whatever, right? So this is kind of like one of the foundational blocks of thinking through with God and walking with Him in a healthy way, is looking at that anger and saying, okay, I'm not going to let that anger destroy me. I will not let that rule over me. It's like, that is an indication, it's a signal, it's a helpful tool, but it will not rule over me in Jesus' name, because I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let that happen. Because I'm going to be walking with God and going into that place that's incredibly good. So, we thank God for His presence in these sort of things. We thank the Father that He gives each of us incredible wisdom, that there's incredible wisdom that opens up to each of us as we follow God, as we honor Him, as we obey Him. There's incredible wisdom that opens up over time, that where we see His heart and His blessing and His presence, and we learn to walk in that just as a normal matter of course. You know, that becomes the normal day-to-day thing. That becomes the normal way of walking and blessing and honoring Him. And so this is an incredible place. This is an awesome place to live. So we love that and enjoy that greatly. And let's go back, Jerry, to the next one. We then go back to the mom. We go back to Eve, okay? So the mother. So the thing that is so profound now is that Eve was faced with a similar choice, right? And so she's now been watching the effects of her choice play out in her son's life. And so we're going to look at that a little bit here as we go. So this is Satan talking to Eve in the garden. And this is, of course, after God had made everything perfect and beautiful. It talks about it was an incredibly great place, right? The garden was cool. The garden was beautiful. The trees were good to look at. They're beautiful to see. They were, and the fruit was pleasing, and the fruit was good. The fruit was good food. And so God had set everything in perfection in the beginning. Everything is pure. Everything is pristine. No housekeeping needed in the garden in the original, right? No housekeeping, no dusting, no cleaning, no vacuuming, no maintaining, no decay, right? Everything was built to continue into even more goodness all the time, as opposed to how we see life, where we have to fight to maintain order. We have to fight to maintain things being clean. We have to fight to maintain goodness, right? So everything was perfect. And so here now comes Satan to talk to Eve when God had basically said, don't eat of that tree in the middle of the garden. Okay, and here comes Satan in Genesis 3 to basically question what's going on. So Satan said, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? There's so much in that story. They were, you know, it's like they were in perfection, and you know, here comes Satan basically talking, you know, to Eve. Here comes Satan basically saying, okay, there's something here that you don't have. You should have it. There's something God has not given you that you should have. Right? Maybe, you know, God is withholding from you. He's holding back. He's keeping good things back from you. He hasn't given you everything that you could get that's good. Okay? And this is the classic opposition to God. This is the classic attack on God subtly in us. It's not an overt, well, you know, it's like God is so wrong, you should do something totally different. It's like go out and sin, go out and do crazy stuff, just whatever. Just go nuts, right? It's not that. It's more of a you can be more than where you are today. God is maybe withholding something good from you. So it's that subtle, like, maybe there's more. Maybe there's something exciting. So every time that we run into that situation in our heart, and we all do, I mean, that's just the nature of being people created by God. It's the nature of who we are as free moral agents before the Lord. It's the nature of the fact that God has made us with the ability to choose good or choose evil, because he gives everybody those options. He gives everybody that freedom. That's the essence of why we will be greater than angels one day, because he's given us that ability to choose, even in the midst of all the rebellion and frustration and beauty and anger and love and glory, all the mixtures of things on earth, all the glory that we see, the sacrifice, all the great things, and all the nasty, all the child abuse, all the things that are horrible. Only the good die young. Billy Joel, right? Sort of true, right? We are caught. So that is the glory of who we are, is that free moral agent before the Lord. And he gives every one of us that opportunity to choose to step into his glory, to choose to step into obedience with him, to choose to step into the life of following him and honoring him. But it's hard work, because the easy way is to float off and go, well, maybe there's something more that will magically fix my issue, whatever the issue is. Maybe there's something more. If my salary was only another $20,000 a year, everything would be fine, right? If you're single, if I only had that person, then everything would be easier and I would be in better shape, right? If only my spouse did this, 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 and this, then things would be much, much better, right? No, that's not really how it works. Jenny, do you want to respond to that? Just kidding. That's not how it works, because again, the core of this thing is the idea that I am before the Lord with myself and for myself, and I've got to figure out with him how to be happy and thankful for what I have today, what I have now, because tomorrow is tomorrow, right? All I have is today, right? Today is the day of salvation, right? Today is the day of salvation. So this is such a shot in the arm. It's such vitality. It's such incredible things that we gather together as a community to affirm each other in this thing of, I love God for what He gives me today, period. I love God. This is all good. Sure, there's things that can change and be different. Absolutely, always are, right? And God wants us to have a good career, to provide for our family, to be building, to be contributing, to be all these things. These are all good. But fundamentally speaking, right, I am good with God today. There's nothing more I need that He has not given me. Everything is glorious in Him on this day, at this moment. And this is why we gather together. It's always good to gather in church because we talk together and we agree on these things. We agree that God is good. We agree that everything that is needed is here today and honored by Him and blessed by Him. And that we're receiving His life and His presence. We're receiving all the glory that He brings each day for that day. You know, the provision for tomorrow comes tomorrow, right? The food for today is here today and is always here today. And so this is the incredible first, you know, fundamental principle of thankfulness is the idea that I am thankful for now, right? Everything that God gives me, He gives me now. I have everything I need now. I do not need anything else. Everything that is needed for tomorrow will come tomorrow. So I don't have to fight. I don't have to fight spiritually to get to tomorrow. Yeah, sometimes we have to work at it, but fundamentally, deeply, emotionally, it's like, no, I want to get in that place of being thankful, blessing Him, honoring Him, being grateful to Him, saying, thank you, God, for today. Thank you for everything I have today. Because out of that, then His fruit flows. Because then out of that, it's like you're going to see His presence more and more. You're going to sense Him. He's going to be more and more talking to you daily. And you're going to be able to hear Him more for other people. You're going to be able to be with them in their emotional challenges and in the intensity of their life, and yet also be backed up from that intensity so you're able to kind of speak His heart to them. You're able to love them and care for them. You're able to extend His presence into them, even in their anxiety or things that are going on or even the bad things they're doing. It's like you're close to them. They know you love them and care for them, and yet you're also extending His presence so that they're able, hopefully, to say, you know, God is good to me. I am loved and cared for. Everything is good today, so I don't have to fight to be somebody. I don't have to fight to be something. I don't have to fight to get this particular thing, this relationship or this car or this house, this career, whatever. I don't have to fight to get this thing because I think that's going to make me. That's boy, if I just get there, everything's going to be great. No, it's like we want to just put our heart with people and love them and bless them so they're able to come to this place too of saying, no, God gives me, God is here for me. He's an awesome God. He's eternally generating good. Every second of every day, He's generating good. He does not have to do housekeeping in heaven. He doesn't have to clean. He doesn't have to dust. He doesn't have to vacuum. He doesn't have to cook meals. Everything is perfection in heaven. We return to there someday, but I can live now in that way of letting His presence generate good at all moments and thank Him for the now. Say, thank you, God. Bless you. You are awesome. You are the perfect God. You understand everything gloriously, right? Thank you for elevating my mind to be with you. Thank you for elevating me to think like you. Thank you that I can be your child, be loved and cared for and valuable, and that you can cement in me my value to you as a loved one. And I can thank you for the now instead of fighting for the future, right? And this is the awesome, incredible thing. And so, you know, we talk about, so where do you want to go here, Lord? So it feels like He wants to go a little farther on this. So it talks again about they were walking, He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day and they hid from the Lord. So again, the fellowship and the intensity of His presence is so incredible when we're walking with Him. The fellowship and the intensity of being with Him is so incredible. And yet when Eve knows that she has now gone beyond what he wanted, right? She basically chose that maybe there was something beyond what God wanted. then the fellowship starts to disintegrate. It says they hid from God. Now, that is such a massive thing, because God is perfect. God is perfectly good, perfectly generous. Nothing he does is ever because he needs something from us. Right? Nothing he does is ever because he needs something from us. He never has to have any particular thing from us. He wants love. Right? He needs it in the sense that love is so important, so vital for both, that we need love to live on, but he is beyond being created. He's beyond being human. So he never needs anything from us, but he wants love. And so the thing is that when we are in that place where we are not able to say, thank you for the now, thank you for this day, thank you for everything that you've given me right now, it's like we start to lose that presence of his fellowship. We start to lose that connection with him. We start to go outside by saying, like Eve did, and Adam agreed with her. Adam didn't stand up. Okay? Adam should have been stronger in this situation, by far. So they both chose badly, right? And so every time we go, you know, I want more from God, and I want to, you know, it's like I think there's more that's going to come, and so I'm not really happy where I am today, right? Then we start losing fellowship with him. We start hiding, right? We start going off into our own cubbyhole, and we cover our face, and we don't want to be seen, right? But boy, that doesn't work in the long haul, does it? It does not work to not be seen. I mean, we're meant to be loved and cared for. We're meant to be valued. We're built to be loved on and cared for. We're built to be important and special and valuable. And that's what he wants. That's what he's after. So he is after those things. And so every time that we basically start to go, but, I can't be seen by God. I can't really be tight with him. Then I need to kind of go back to this process of, okay, God, am I thanking you for what's going on currently? And if I can't, Lord, help me figure out what's blocking me from doing that. What is it that I'm thinking about? Or what is it that's going on here? What old assumption maybe? What judgment I've made about myself? What judgment have I made about the situation around me? Help me figure out what's blocking me from being tight with you, and help me, Lord, to vacate that. You know, in Jesus' name, vacate that out. Because that could be just my own human kind of bad thinking, right, that needs to be changed. Or it could be a demon that's come in because of something I've done in the past or somebody close to me that I've allowed. And so I need to say, get that out of here in Jesus' name. Because we are supernatural beings, and we live in a supernatural world. And that affects the natural. It affects all the things that are going on. And so all these very complex things that we deal with emotionally, you know, relationally, all the complex things, there's just all sorts of things there. But over time, when we're close to God, God brings clarity in there. He gives us spiritual power, and we learn how to change our thinking. You know, take every thought captive, as Paul talks about. Take every thought captive to Christ, right? So we learn to change our human thinking and the way we're operating, but we also understand then how to kick demons out, because we have the enemy, just like Eve did. The enemy comes to us and opposes us. And that's supernatural. And if we're not in Christ, he's bigger than we are. So if we are not operating in Christ, he still gets a chance to rip at us and shred things and do destruction. So these things all go together. So whenever we feel disconnected from God, now let me rephrase that. Whenever there's huge long periods of being disconnected from God, because every serious Christian goes through periods where you don't feel connected to God. That's just part of the deal. And that's God basically teaching us how to love him for himself, not for how good I feel about it. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes we lose that feeling of connection because God is saying, I want you to learn how to love me for me, not because I make you feel good about it, right? And that's just part of growth. That's okay. So, but when we, over the long period, when we are really disconnected from God, then we need to back up and say, okay, God, how do I get back to that? Where do I need to ask forgiveness? Where do I need to repent? Where do I need to go back to understanding and saying, yes, you have given me everything today that I need. You are glorious. You are beautiful. You are awesome. I am good in you, period. I am good in you. I thank you for what you're doing. And so that incredible, you know, interplay with him, the the discussions that go on, the things that we talk about when we wake up at night, when we're, you know, we're tossing and turning because something's going on that is really intense for us. This discussion is just the tapestry of God's discussion with us, His love for us, His care for us, and our love for Him. It's the tapestry being developed of walking with God and understanding His presence and His grace. And so this is an incredibly good thing. This is an incredibly good thing. And so when you read, and I started deliberately today, kind of started the Thanksgiving series in the Old Testament, kind of the beginnings. So it's kind of the beginnings today, right? So I'm thankful for what God has given me exactly right now. This is good. So we started in the beginning on this. And so as you read through the scriptures, right, sometimes there's a little bit of question, how do I really, really read the Old Testament in light of Jesus? Sometimes folks have a little bit of hard time with that. Some folks throw the Old Testament out, right? We don't. I mean, you always see Christ in there. You just see it before the cross. You see it looking towards the cross from not knowing as much. But it's like there's always value in that. And so staying in the beginnings and making sure that our understanding of God is consistent through His revelation, and that we take into account the revelation and how He unfolds His presence with us, is so key, and it's so good. And so we're gonna conclude early today, so we're not gonna go on a huge more, but I just want to say that as you read the Old Testament, it's like just that interplay of connection with God. How faithful were the people really being versus just talking about it is a massive discussion. It's almost like the thread that goes through the entire Old Testament. It's like, how much did the people of God and the individuals truly worship God and really try to walk with Him versus just talking about it or even ignoring Him? That's always the question in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, even in our walks. I mean, that is really the core of the discussion about any church or individuals or groups, is how much are they fighting to basically say, yes, God is everything for me right now. This is glorious, and I'm going to let God unfold all the things that need to change over time, but it's not a frantic thing. It's not in the end a fighting thing. It's letting God and the Holy Spirit purify and open up and bring His life that just goes up through all the pores of who we are. It's almost like His life drives out all the things that are contrary to Him. His life drives out, and there's no room for the bad stuff to stay, because His glory, His presence, His thankfulness, His beauty is at the center. And so there's no room for the junk to stick around, right? There's no room. It's not going to stay. Because the glory of God is so massive and beautiful, everything else has to give way to it. I mean, that's why heaven one day is the glory it is, and it's perfect, and that we join Him in that place. And so this is the walkthrough. And so, Jerry, if you want to jump to the last scripture. So we see in the Psalms some incredible things. And Thanksgiving is talked about many, many times in the Psalms. And so in Psalm 100, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And so, you know, David or the psalmist is basically just affirming again that the fundamental thing that's out there, the fundamental thing in the universe, is the goodness and the love of God. You know, His love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. So the fundamental thing in the world and in life is the goodness of God, His presence, His grace. And so we can give thanks forever. We can love Him, we can honor Him, we can bless Him. This is who we can become. So Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to hear Your heart. Lord, we give You praise today. We give You praise and honor. And Lord, I just I pray in Jesus' name that You would speak to every person here. Lord, I pray that each person would have some time with You this afternoon, that they would say, I thank You, God. I thank You, God, for what You've given me. I thank You for everything You've given me today. I thank You for this day. I thank You for all that You've made me to be. And Lord, I thank You that You're going to bless every person. You're going to honor them. You're going to elevate them. You're going to lift them up. You're going to bring honor into them. Lord, you're going to bring fulfillment and success and beauty and strength and confidence, competencies, Lord. Lord, I just pray. It just feels like you're highlighting that. Lord, I just pray that new competencies and new things will come this week for people. Father, whether it's in their careers, whether their relationships, Lord, or just a skill set, maybe even a ministry skill set. Father, I pray that new competencies will come, that you, Holy Spirit, will be doing and bringing forward aspects and facets of people, Lord, that they've not seen before. Just like diamonds, Father, we are like diamonds. We have many facets to us. There are many things we reflect to those on the outside, and there are essential things in the center. And Lord, I just declare that you will show new facets of who we are to yourself, mostly to you, Lord, to bless you and glorify you, but then to other people and to ourselves so that your kingdom goes forward in power and love and grace. Lord, we just declare together your goodness today. We declare together your great graciousness. We declare together the fact that we are thankful for this day and everything you've given us. Everything is glorious in you. We bless you and we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for working out everything for our good and our honor. We just give you praise today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Very good, Cal. Thank you, Cal. Give him a round of applause.